No, 2 Timothy. I'm going to get that right one day.
You can write it down.
I did. It's right in front of me.
Uh-huh. Well, it's such an odd thing to do.
Greatly desiring to see thee, verse 4. Mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Remembrance is just that weird word that starts with MN. And it's
MM.
In this case, it's super remembrance. It's hypomnesis, M-N-E-S-I-S. And it means that he's constantly calling their situation to remembrance. And what situation is he calling? It's the unfeigned faith. Now, how can you have faith that is feigned? Well, it's unfeigned is the thing, but it's feigned is doing or saying something other than that which is inside you.
Yeah, spontaneous would be.
No, spontaneous would be the same. There's no separation. A long time ago, we studied Satan's half second. And it's the time it takes from you hear something until you respond. And it's in that half second that has caused the ability to to think that you have control and to put you on a stage so you're an actor. And so you have these programs and idols and purposes and things that you think you should do or shouldn't do. And then you have the situation, the stimulus. In that half second, your brain decides whether or not to speak it or to hold back or be silent. And that act of that half second between the stimulus and the speaking is what causes you to be an actor on the stage. It's pretense, dissimulation, without hypocrisy, not disguised, not fake. And it all comes back to the first thing that happened with Adam and Eve when they heard the voice of God and they hid themselves in the trees. And that plaintive cry was, "Who told you you were naked?" And that's what keeps us from spontaneity. It keeps us from abandonment. But by faith, if you see that what you're doing is that acting, then by the power and efficacy of God, you can start speaking where there's no hesitation between the stimulus and the speech. Does everybody understand that? Remember the pulpit? It's Latin word for a stage. And the pastor in the pulpit is the leader of the act. And it's something that God hates. Because it's the revelation that you haven't died, that you haven't picked up the cross, but that the evil one reigns because he's constantly looking and seeing and finding out whether or not what he wants to say or what he's going to say. That's why I get kind of upset in here whenever I'm teaching, because I know that things I say cause you to have a response, positive or negative, I don't care. But you hold it back.
Right. Or you're not fond of gelling or balling.
No, that's not a good thing. You can go gel all you want to when you're out of body, but in body, there's no gelling.
That was spontaneous, by the way.
Good.
No, I actually thought about it before. Which is, I don't
know. All right, let's look at a bunch of scriptures. Let's start in. Let's go to Matthew 12. No, Matthew 23. This is when, this is the situation when the Pharisees were trying to trick him again. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk.
We're in Matthew 23.
I'm sorry, Matthew 22. Okay. We're gonna go back to 23. I'm sorry. 22:15. And they went out unto him and their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny, or a coin. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these things, these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Now, what the point of this is, the hypocrites, the Sadducees, the Herodians, they had sat back and thought about a way in which you can make somebody an offender for a word. Remember when we studied that a long time ago? And so you sit back and in waiting to make a man an offender, waiting for you to be able to catch them in some inconsistency. That's what Harry did for 30 years. And it was good. Because he did it, but he didn't act like he wasn't doing it. You understand? Now, let's go to Matthew 23. Verse 24. Now this is satire right here. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's pretty strong. Again, you can read it and say, well, that's talking about those guys back there. That's a history book. No. If this touched you anywhere, then you got to speak it.
This stuff always makes me realize I need a Savior. And I understand what it means to need a Savior. But if I can't be anything but this, and if I think I can, and I end up in a whitewashed sepulcher, hopefully fooling others and maybe fooling myself.
Oh, yeah. It's very easy to fool yourself. Without the body, I'd fool myself in a minute. It's so opposite of everything that we've been taught. That you would explode. You would boom, boom, boom. Say what's there, no matter where and what you're dealing with. I used to say the sun never quits, but he gets fired a lot. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, you're just sitting back in judgment. You're doing it, Mr. Brooks.
You said the sun never quits, but he gets fired a lot. I was trying to figure out what that meant.
Exploding outwardly, why not say that? You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
No, I mean, really.
No, I...
It's not the answer that's important.
Yeah, that's what caught me there. Even there, I'm sitting there trying to figure out how's that the answer to the question.
I'm not giving you an answer. I'm asking you that when that impulse came, to speak it. Please, I beg of you, we do go through this all the time, and they did back then too. Because you want to be a listener. You don't want to get dirty. You want to step an inch or two back from the edge. That's safety. Yeah, I mean it causes fire, it causes antagonism. It happened last night at the Bible study at Mike's.
What happened?
Well, the word anti in Greek means an exact copy. No, it doesn't. It means instead of. And I got a little hot with him.
Like
I don't usually do that. What?
They didn't like your definition?
No, one guy. And then, no, that's another story. All right. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Hair-lipped dog. Mark. Why do I even think that kind of stuff?
Glad you do.
What did I say, Mark 12?
Glad he does things like that, because then I don't feel so bad when I do too.
Well, this is the same thing. The hypocrites were tempting him in verse 15, bring me a penny that I may see it. Luke 12. Say something stupid.
Means you could have this tongue.
What I'd like from each of you is don't suffer fools gladly.
So,
what is going on with your little thing in your chin?
This? Thinking about Donna Green one day, I don't know.
Got to talk to Michelle about the
hair. What is that thing called? A goatee?
Goatee, I guess.
I think it's called a merkin.
A merkin?
Merkin.
I just haven't shaved it.
Now, I'm not going to tell you what merkin means. Some of you know already.
I can tell you what it's to play with. Did you notice I did that? Some of you spices that work and play with
it. It is fun to play with.
I don't want to get it. My daughter
likes to play with it, too.
I don't want
to.
She's going to start a speaker as a philosopher.
Now, this one we've studied also. We're going to, let's go back. Let's go to Acts 27. That's not right. What am I doing? Forget that. Let's go to Romans 1. No, let's not go there either.
Messed up your notes.
No, I was when I was doing the word studies, I think I confused two different words, but that's all right.
What word are we on?
Unfeigned or hypocrisy. See, if I were organized, we wouldn't have to go through this. Well, this is kind of interesting. This is Paul when he went before Felix. No, we're back. We're changed. We're back to Acts 24. Verse 10. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all of the things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Well, that's the point. "And I herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." A singular way that that can happen is constant emptying. No matter what it is, you say it. Constant emptying. Amen?
That's great.
Because the conscience is just there to accuse.
Or excuse.
Yeah, justify. Give you a way out. Put someone else down.
All right. I better check these before I say them. I think we're going to Ephesians. If I can find Ephesians. General Electric Power Company. Excuse my ignorance here, folks. No, let's just talk a minute. How can you have faked faith? How can you act like you have faith?
Using scriptures to justify your actions once you think you have faith.
Let me tell you, one time, I don't remember which time it was, but it may have been the 60 Minutes Australia. The host was talking to Benny Hinn and about these fake healings that was just happening and with the excitement of the moment. And Benny said, well, even if it wasn't true, it gave people hope. Now, I almost jumped out of my clothes, whatever I was in, at the arrogancy of that statement. But then I started thinking, I'm guilty of that. All of us are guilty of that. You know, there were people that were visiting Harry that were telling him, it's going to be all right, Harry. We're going to catch this. I told him he was dying. He was going to die in a few days. And believe it or not, that was the comfort to him. Not that he was having the hope that... But think of that in terms of how... You go up, I mean, we've had so many examples of this that it just, with the evangelists, they come up on stage and praise God, we're healed and everything is going to be wonderful, and they go home. And they're not healed and they're alone. And they start accusing themselves, because I don't have enough faith, that's why I'm not healed. I didn't give enough money, that's why I'm not healed. Now, how is that reflected in what we do? Yeah.
When we don't preach the cross.
Well, when we say these crazy things, oh yeah, everything's going to be all right. Oh yeah, it's this next deal is going to work. That's what used to drive Judy absolutely insane. Remember?
I'm trying to, but I don't remember.
So you're saying it's a false hope?
Well, it's just telling lies.
Misdirected hope. It's hope in the world, and we're trying to combine faith with the world system.
Yeah, there is no hope in the world.
But I don't see how we cannot believe that everything is going to be all right, because it is.
Well, yeah, I mean it's all
but
right.
Maybe if you don't really believe that, maybe if you're trying to convince yourself it's going to be all right, it's the same.
What you gonna say?
It's all right to be optimistic and have hope. Okay?
Where'd you get that?
I've always, my coffee cup, my glass, whatever, unless it's my chocolate cake.
Okay,
it's always half full.
Let me ask you a question. How has that worked out for you?
It sucks, but I'm still an optimist.
Okay. You understand that optimism, from the standpoint of my favorite quote of Chesterton, optimism is cowardice.
That is so true. That is so true. Because I got myself into a situation because I didn't seize the moment. I didn't be, quote, rude, but not rude, but just seize the moment and take the situation and take this person and say, I can't do this. If this is what's going on with you, I can't get involved. Well, you see how well that worked out.
Yeah, that's my point. Everybody is created to have false hope. And that you're created that way because that's the trick of the evil one, that you're alive. And so you everybody does what Benny Hinn does. Everybody. It just makes me crazy. Oh, everything's going to be all right. Again, how has that worked out for you? It's a lie. That's why the preaching of the cross is the only thing. And our hope, the word hope, should never be used unless it is referring to the resurrection of Christ in you.
We can hope in that, though, right?
Well, that's the only hope. That he is in you. Not that he is in you and is going to do this and fix that,
right,
and this situation is going to be good, and this is how it's abandonment, knowing that he is the way, he is truth, he is life.
It's always messy, just the hope of him to us.
Never there's the word hope used in the Bible as it's used in our language, with the expectation of some good thing. That was not even in it, that you had in Hebrew. There is no ability to say that even. Do you understand what our language has done? Our language has allowed us to believe. You know, it's the Pollyanna theology. And some of us do it without even knowing we do it. And it's a lie. It's not, it's feigned faith. It's not real. But boy, do you get people mad if you say it's everything's going to be all right, and you say, no, it isn't. Everybody understand what this feigned hope is? What unfeigned hope then is? Unfeigned faith, unfeigned hope, unfeigned love. It's all got to be the only one who has the ability to have unfeignedness, unfeigned faith, unfeigned anything is Jesus Christ. Whatever it is. Whatever the thing that's going on that you have put effort and expenditures or whatever in it, it died when you were baptized. You were baptized into his death. Can you see how the evil one has faked us out for 2,000 years? So we'll probably spend I'll check my notes a little better, but we'll probably spend a little bit more time on unfeigned faith. Anybody have any response? Did I touch anyone's inner being? Anyone guilty of this? Feigned hope? feigned faith?
It comes full circle back to prophesying and spontaneity, being.
Being instead of trying to be.
Yeah. And that's your only hope.
And that's because of the resurrection. If you examine yourselves, prove you're in the faith, know your own self. That Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate.
Well, I really believe, and what you clued me in on is this is not the same thing. The two statements are not the same statement. I've always really believed that all things work together for the good of all that stuff. And that's obviously not the same thing as it's going to work out. But I would have said 15 minutes ago that those were the same thing. And that's probably an area where you can get
go to Romans 8.
Because I'm sure, having listened to you, that I don't really believe those two are equal even now.
Let's go to Romans 8.
I'm not sure what you just said.
I don't know.
What did you just say?
All things work together for good.
It isn't the same thing as it'll all work out.
But I've
lived my life as if I believed those were true, that those two were equivalent. I've just thought that I believed that way. So I've always thought that way.
The scripture you're alluding to is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, the issue is always all things work together for good. What's the word good? What we automatically do is we put our definition of good on that scripture.
No.
The word is agathos, and it has nothing to do with what you and I think is good. It has to do singularly with this mystery of God preparing his bride. All things work together for good to them who are the called. Whom he called, he justified, etc., etc. Notice all those are in the past tense. So all the remaining time has anything to do with is not any projects or deals or even husbands and wives, even Trinity. It has to do with the revelation of the fullness of the revelation of his Son in you. Period. One more scripture. Revelation chapter 14. And this is where we're so easily seduced. And it's what we eat. That's another thing we'll talk about someday. Verse 12, Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Man, your mind is not capable of understanding that, because your mind always thinks that you will be led by your works. You understand? But here, in him, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their own labors and their works do follow them. And that's the position of staying completely in that status of abandonment, of constant repentance, not as an act, but as a way of life. Amen? Now, do you understand the difference?
I had some of that kind of worked out ahead of time. But,
good.
But I wouldn't, like I said, if you'd asked me 15 minutes ago, the two statements were equivalent, my initial response would have been, yeah, they are.
Okay. All righty, we'll spend more time on unfeigned faith. Take it, big guy.
Bad.
Anthony and
Pete, it won't shut off.